At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Reaction Podcast is live and on the air. I am J.R. Radcliffe. Next to me is a man who can sing the Iowa fight song, J.P. Kadoran of Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
But I choose not to because that would be considered bragging.
Is there any chance that Iowa loses a couple games yet this year?
And then of course the Badgers, there's a chance. There's it's college
not,
football.
Though. There's not a chance.
I would not. I mean, I am planning on them, like, realistically,
getting beaten badly in the Big Ten Championship game by Ohio State.
Sign me up. Oh, my God. If it means that Iowa's going to the Big Ten Championship game, sign me up.
I'll lose
60 to nothing instead of 59 to nothing, which, as you know, happened.
It did. Yeah. It's nice to know that there are programs out there whose ambitions are just that, as opposed to the team who's been there three times already.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It feels good to know.
Especially when they were picked to finish, like, seventh in the Big Ten this year. Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
They look okay.
I'll take it.
We're not going to talk a lot about the Badgers, though. Although Joel Stave of Whitnall, who I said would be good this year, has back-to-back 300-yard passing games. Just for why?
Oh, but you said that he would be good.
I did.
Not that he would throw for 300 yards twice.
Well, I didn't indicate directly. What do you mean that's a difference?
Is Philip Rivers good?
Oh, gosh. My goodness. Anyway, we're not going to talk more about the Badgers. We'll talk maybe a little Packers at the end of this, but we have one primary thing to chat about, and that is the release of the WIAA.
Of the girls' volleyball brackets.
And the boys' soccer brackets. And maybe also the WIAA football brackets. Postseason begins Friday. JP, who you got?
Who do I got?
Across the board. D7. Catholic Start
Central.
There.
Catholic Central. Also look out for Hilbert Stockbridge coming out of Appleton area.
No. Well, worked in Hilbert.
I did a story on Stockbridge's football team 2 years ago.
Which is no longer a football team. It is now with Hilbert.
Correct. Which is why I said Hilbert Stockbridge.
Yeah. Stockbridge is a teeny tiny school. I want to say like 40 kids.
They had 50 when I was there.
They had
17 boys in the whole school. 11 of them were on the football team. Yeah.
That's a small football team.
It is. Well, they played 8-man.
Yes, they did.
Out of pure necessity.
Yeah, because if one guy gets hurt, you are suddenly a man
they
down.
They practiced against barrels.
Okay.
Barrels were a big part of their practice. Yeah. But now they're in the playoffs. Combine Hilbert Stockbridge D7. Let's not talk about D7
Hilbert,
anymore.
Which has a lot of tradition, by the way. It's nice to join a program that has state championships under their belt. That's
so
not bad.
Moving on. The big ones that most people around the state care about. It's going to be fun, huh?
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun.
I went on the AM 1250 or 105.7 The Fan, depending on which dial you care about, for their coaches show 2 hours on Saturday. Talking about this a little bit, and I still think, JP, especially even in the media industry, there are a lot of people who don't understand how the bracket process works.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are again. It happens every year in Division I. There is a group of teams, including many from the Milwaukee area, that is noticeably less difficult a path than it is for others in D1. D2 has a similar circumstance where it's got a loaded bracket and then others that are not as perceived to be as problematic. And I feel the need to sort of throw out this disclaimer that it's going to happen every year, guys, because it's all about the geography. And yes, you're splitting hairs in Milwaukee when you're talking about whether or not, you know, they should be playing Milwaukee Vincent or Menominee Falls, which are not far apart, or Germantown or whatever. But the fact of the matter is the other parts of the state operate under the same principles. They put these dots on a map. They draw the map around 8 schools that fit their sort of regional grouping. And that's your group of 8. They try to divide the conference champions. But outside of that, they make no judgments about how good these teams are. So when you see, you know, when you see Arrowhead going out west to face Madison teams, whereas a team like Marquette only has to play Milwaukee City schools, I get that Arrowhead on paper and probably in reality is a better football team, but that's not how this part of the process works. Arrowhead to them is just another team with a one-loss record. It
happens to be pretty far west when it comes to the Milwaukee area.
It does.
As well.
It fits in Madison, and every year Madison sort of adopts a couple schools from the western part of
Washington
County.
There's usually a Big Eight Classic Eight challenge.
Totally, and. They do look at conference champs by their standards, by the Classic Eight standards. Arrowhead, or rather Muskego, is the conference champ because they won the final game of the regular season over Arrowhead. They're co-champs in real life, but for this process, Muskego's the conference champ. Arrowhead gets no special treatment here. They are absolutely just another team. They're going to wind up where the geography takes them. Fond du Lac is a conference champ. It's going to get treated differently. It's going to be separated out, and that maybe is why Fond du Lac falls
undefeated,
south.
Right?
No, they lost their last game of the season as well. But I still think that I do think this layout would have happened anyway in Division One. But this is just how it works, and it's complicated. It's even more complicated than I lay out here.
And really, correct me if I'm wrong, but like say Arrowhead beat Muskego in Week 9, they probably just would have been the number one seed in that same same corner of the bracket, right?
I do think in this case it would not have changed how things laid out, and that's only by my own analysis and my own speculation. It's possible.
Well, you're smart enough. I'll trust you.
Ish. Perhaps they decide that being an undefeated conference champion, they want to divide that school because there are three undefeated conference champions in Division One. There's Franklin, there's Milwaukee Hamilton, there's Milwaukee King. That's it. Everybody else has at least one conference loss. Maybe they say to themselves, you know what, we want to divide the undefeated conference champs out. But even if they did that, Arrowhead would still be in this pool. Well, no, I'm sorry, there's Oconomowoc as well. So there's five. I said three. There's five. And maybe they decide now, because of that, Arrowhead can stay with the Milwaukee schools and Fond du Lac goes north and Stevens Point goes west. I don't know. There are scenarios where that's possible. But I do think this is what they would have ended up with anyway. Really do.
So you just rambled kind of for no reason? So anyway, so what people need to know is Kimberly is the number one seed in Division One.
True.
They will be playing all Appleton Green Bay schools until the semifinals. In the semis, they might be matching up with Fond du Lac, Nina, or Marquette. Marquette is a three seed in that bracket. And like we said before, Marquette got lumped in with a lot of city schools.
Yeah, if Marquette should be very happy about their draw. Fond du Lac should be happy about their draw. But I'm going to say this. Don't sleep on Milwaukee King.
Sure.
Obviously, as a city school, you're not going to think that that's a team that can get to level
and
four.
And they won a playoff game last year.
They did. And they're very good. They're not a run-of-the-mill city conference team. And more than that, this pool is not a super... it depends on how much you believe in Fond du Lac. I thought they had some close outcomes this year. They lost a game they probably shouldn't have lost in the last game of the season against Marshfield. Doesn't mean they're a bad team. They're obviously a good team. But if Milwaukee King is going to... If the city school is going to sneak up on somebody and get to level four this year, this is it. This is Milwaukee King's opportunity.
To level four, huh?
Well, I wouldn't pick that necessarily, but I'm saying there is a very real
there's a chance.
Yeah,
Riverside did it in 2009?
Yep, Riverside's done it twice in the last 10 years.
So there you go. And then if we look at the bottom right, Franklin, as we talked about, one of the best teams. We saw them week one. Have you seen them since?
I have not, but they're the best team in the
area. But they're good.
Yep.
So we didn't need to go see them.
No.
And then also in that bracket is Muskego, who we talked about from the Classic Eight, Oak Creek, which would be a huge rivalry if they were to meet up with Franklin in the quarterfinals. So that should be fun.
I think the Muskego Franklin game in level three could be as good a game as we see. I mean, Muskego really showed what they had with the win over Arrowhead. Outstanding line play, defensive line, offensive line, big dudes, great skill guys. They spread the ball around with their offense. Very skilled quarterback who doesn't need to pass a lot, but when he does, he's efficient. And Caleb Wagner, Brett Finke kind of does everything. Aiden Malcolmson and Colin O'Neill running the ball. I mean, this team is good, is very, very good, is reaching Camp Randall good at this point.
Yeah, I feel like Muskego is one of the most underrated and not talked about programs in the state what they've done the last couple of years.
And there's a couple reasons for that. One is that, first of all, their non-conference schedule is not difficult. They dominate two foes, and they should. They play teams that are not going to open up. You're not going to open up eyes when you win those games. Then you go up against Classic Eight. You're bound to get a loss. It's the Catholic Memorial principle. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to, you're going to take a loss somewhere along the way. So they fall, I believe, to Waukesha West, and that sort of knocked them off the
radar.
Off the radar right away. But they were still very good. They get by Maguanago. That was a very tough game. And then they beat Catholic Memorial. They beat You know, they beat all the schools that they should beat in the Classic Eight. They beat Arrowhead, and that really, I mean, now I think we understand that they're a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Franklin's the best team in the area. I think Franklin, if they wind up even facing Arrowhead in level four, I think Franklin should be your favorite team to win at this point, but it would not surprise me to see Muskego in level four.
Yep, so Franklin and Muskego will battle for a spot in the semifinals, and then on the other side of those semifinals will be number one Oconomowoc, or number three Arrowhead, mixed in with a bunch of Madison schools. So for the most casual listener of the show, yes, Kimberly and Arrowhead could face off in the finals.
They're for on opposite second side, straight year.
Yeah, they're on opposite sides of the bracket.
And now Kimberly would be their third straight state championship appearance, and Arrowhead would be their fourth.
Correct.
Because Arrowhead won back-to-back championships and finished second to Kimberly last year.
So it could be Kimberly Arrowhead. I think, like you just said, more likely is Kimberly Franklin, but we are in line for, you know, it could be Kimberly Marquette again in the semifinals, which is a rematch of last year where Kimberly just walked all over them. But there could be some fun things in Division I. Franklin was, I believe, the third smallest school in Division I,
yeah.
So there was a chance because of some results on Friday night, like they were starting to get pushed down the list a little bit.
I know, instance, that would have been wild.
If a D1 school with a bigger enrollment made the playoffs, that would push Franklin down, and it almost happened, but instead Franklin will be Division I, and they'll be going up against the big boys.
Counterintuitive, but you want to be in Division I if you're Franklin, because D2 is much tougher as a whole. Now, the top few teams, you're probably looking at the best of the best in Division I, the Kimberleys, the Arrowheads.
Yep.
But when you're talking about like Round 1, Round 2, you want, as Franklin, to be in Division I, because it's a much easier path.
Yes.
D2 is much more balanced.
Franklin has a city school to start with in Bradley Tech, and then their second-round game would be against Racine Horlick or Indian Trail.
Two teams that they destroyed this year.
Correct. Both Southeastern Conference teams and both teams that were no match for the Sabres.
The Southeast was not a challenge this year for Franklin. And it'll be real interesting if Arrowhead winds up facing Oconomowoc. Oconomowoc is now the 3 seed, which I think is kind of crazy.
Arrowhead is 3.
I said the wrong. Arrowhead's a 3 seed, which I think is crazy.
They went from the second-ranked team in the state to
the third
in their own bracket.
And honestly, I don't know how you... I mean, I've seen Oconomowoc play. I haven't seen Middleton play this year. Middleton, the conference champion out of the Big 8.
Yep.
To me, there's no way you pick Arrowhead to lose to either one of those teams. Now, Oconomowoc, I mean, all credit to them. They were 1-8 a year ago, and they really rebounded. They got an unbelievable passing game. They're the top seed, and they do deserve to be a top seed. They've met every challenge. But when Arrowhead faces off with Oconomowoc at Oconomowoc in level 3, it's going to be a stunner if Oconomowoc wins. I'm not saying they can't do it. I think they can. But that's going to be a big, huge, uplifting win for that program.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for Arrowhead, it would be, yep, there's our level 3 win. Time to move on to level 4.
To Franklin.
Probably to Franklin.
So then in Division 2, just your little background here. That
Group
DePere,
of death.
DePere is the number 1 seed in one of the regions. And they went undefeated up in the Fox River Classic Conference. They're one of the best teams, and if the seeds all hold, they will face Menasha, who is the number 2. So while we talk about our groups of death down here,
oh my goodness,
the Green Bay area is very much calling that a group of death, because DePere against Menasha in the state quarterfinals should probably be a state finals.
I met the DePere head coach tailgating at the Packers game.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you his name right now.
It's a very long, very Appleton
name.
Fox Valley name.
Got
I
it.
Believe I've met somebody in the past with that name, and it was pronounced Mickle Cabbage.
Oh, I see. How about
it could be like Mikalkovich, it could be a lot of different things.
It's much better that I just didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping to be there on Wednesday for a
feature.
Very
good.
So,
I didn't speak to him for long, but very brief. I mean, they could face Menominee in level 2, and Menominee is a storied program. They have had not a tremendous year on paper, but they're in a very good conference. As good as the Classic 8 is, and it is, it's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Rivers up way north is exceptional as well. I mean, there are teams like Hudson, who gave Arrowhead a run for their money, that did not make the playoffs out of that conference. So Menominee is very good as a 4 seed, and that would be DePere's second round of
Menominee opponent. Only has 2 Big Ten recruits on
their
roster.
Only 2 Big Ten
so...
recruits. I didn't even know their quarterback was going to Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We're
still I didn't say anything.
Stocky going. I don't even know.
Wisconsin.
Oh, he's you're right. Okay, right.
Yep.
He's going to Wisconsin. So, yes, that's unfortunate.
Speaking of, did Monona Grove make the playoffs?
I think they did.
Because they have a running back. There they are, number 1 seed in Division 3. Their running back is unbelievable, also going to Iowa.
Why are all these Iowans?
It's a weird...
Is this your fault?
No, as somebody who follows them, I know that this normally does not happen. Macon Pleva from Franklin right now is one of the only Wisconsin natives on the Iowa roster, but I think there's 4
think the
Wisconsin natives in this recruiting class.
Headed to
kid from I think Iola Scandinavia, Christian Welch.
Okay.
And then maybe one more, too.
Cool.
Anyway.
So, that's the thing about Division II. This is where what I was talking about earlier, a lot of the complaints are coming in, talking about how is it that Brookfield Central is in with the North Shore teams and Brookfield East and Slinger and Oshkosh North. And I get that that's really loaded. Mm-hmm. But, A, there's another loaded part of the Division II bracket up north. But we don't know them as well because we don't see them in the Milwaukee area. And B, you just stick to the geography. If you separate the conference champs on paper, they do the same process in the concentrated areas.
It's really simple, isn't it? DePere is undefeated conference champion, so they're a number one seed.
Yep.
Brookfield Central conference
undefeated
champion.
Undefeated conference champion, yes.
Waukesha West, not
undefeated, not a conference champion. In that pool, you do not have... you have Greenfield, who's a conference champ. You don't have an undefeated one. Greenfield won the Woodlands.
Homestead shared a conference champion as well. So, like, those are your ones and two seeds. Lake Geneva Badger is the other two seed. They won their conference. Wanakee is the number one seed, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that they won their
conference.
It's actually really simple. The ones and twos get split up, and the geography, you actually can't even argue with them. Like, they're all placed pretty much perfectly.
That said, if you're Brookfield Central and you won the Greater Metro, which maybe isn't as good as it has been in years past, but it's still a quality football conference, and you beat everybody in the Greater Metro, you have to be pretty bummed out that your first-round opponent is Oshkosh North, a very credible team from the Valley, followed by a matchup with either Whitefish Bay, which shared the North Shore title as the four seed, or Brookfield East, which had one loss to Brookfield Central in a very competitive game, and they're the five seed. Yeah, and a lot of people think Brookfield East is as good as any team in that
point. I was going to say, maybe that's a little confusing why Whitefish Bay is a four seed, but it's Brookfield Central 1, conference champion, Homestead conference champion 2, and then Slinger, I assume, won their conference as well.
Slinger did not win their conference.
Oh, because of Oconawa.
They took one loss. So, but Slinger, in non-conference play, beat Whitefish Bay, which also, by the way, beat Brookfield Central to make things even more complicated. But if you look at Homestead and Bay just side by side, well, Homestead beat Bay. They are the official North Shore Conference champ by the WIAA standards. So they do slot in nicely as the two, and although that doesn't really come into play when they're seeding. They're really just going to a seeding meeting and trying to determine 1 through 8 which team is best. They take out all of the criteria when they get to the seeding meetings. It's just, here's 8 teams. You figure out who should be the best.
Yep, so it all kind of makes sense. That is crazy, though, when you see somebody like Cedarburg is a 6th seed in this group, and Germantown is 7.
Cedarburg, could have won the North Shore title on the last day of the season.
It's a bit jarring, but that goes back to being the group of death, and that's the way that geography is. If you want to be the representative from Milwaukee in Division II, you have to win that group.
And a nice break then for the schools that are in the other part of the Wisconsin. Although I wouldn't necessarily want to face like a Waterford or a Union Grove or whatever. The Southern Lakes has been pretty good, but if you're Greendale Greenfield, you're breathing a sigh of relief that you didn't get stuck in there too. Greenfield with a really huge win,
and that they're in their own. In the bottom right.
And there are the other part of the Milwaukee area. So Greenfield, did you see that game on Thursday night?
I watched a little bit.
That was a crazy win.
I'm partial to other high school broadcasts on different nights of the week.
But, I understand.
I caught some of it, and I'm just very happy for Joe Cook, and they've been waiting for 37 years, as they told both of us, actually, at, what was that, week 7?
Yep.
For the Whitnall-Greenfield game. Yeah, so happy for Joe Cook and the Hawks and Greendale. I don't know, I was actually kind of surprised that they even got that far because they had a rough start to their season and made their way back to the Woodland Conference Championship game and get stuck with a 4 seed. I mean, again, it's like these are all these good teams that we followed all year, and like half of them are going to lose on Friday.
I know, and it's going to be over. And Greendale, they faced Franklin, which, as we've talked about, could win the Division I state championship, and they faced Menominee in the non-conference. Menominee is always good. They went to Menominee, and Mason Stocky had a really good game, and it was a close game. So those losses, entirely forgivable. And then they get into Woodland play, and they get on a roll. They win 5 in a row, I guess it would have been. It would have been six. And then come in to face Greenfield for the Woodland Conference Championship. They changed quarterbacks early in the season, went to a sophomore, Mitchell Gannett, who's had an incredible year numbers-wise. Sophomore or junior, I guess, I'm not sure. But running the ball, passing the ball, he's kind of got it all. Typical Greendale quarterback. I really did not expect them to lose that game. I thought of them as a good team all year long. They're set up now as the four. They could face Waukesha West in the second round if they both win. And that game last year was Waukesha West beat Greendale, surprisingly, to keep them out of level four after Greendale had reached the state championship the year before and brought back a lot of key pieces. So we could see a really compelling rematch in that battle.
Beautiful. So that's Division Two, and then Division Three. There's only a few teams. I was kind of surprised. I don't know if I normally expect more or what, but only a few teams from our area.
Yeah, it was a little different this year. They drew kind of a pretty big sweeping bubble for one of the pods that kind of went from the south, you know, the southeast part of the state, western part of this coverage area, up all the way to the northwest with like Luxembourg, Casco, and with New Berlin Eisenhower. But a couple of really compelling matchups, including Eisenhower against Wisconsin Lutheran
as a seven
as a seven seed. Yeah, and I even thought maybe they'd be the eighth seed, which is just going to be really jarring to see.
When was the last time that they were seeded that low?
I don't know. I don't know if they've ever been seeded that low since the WIAA started. So, and then Plymouth, since they started in the WIAA, I should say. And Plymouth is a traditional strong program. They lost kind of badly to Keewaskum to close the year, but that's a really good eighth seed.
Yeah,
which I'm sure Xavier will take care of them because Xavier's very good. But still, that's a pretty powerful group of eight teams right there as
that's,
well.
That's one of my favorite stories. That at the beginning of the year, I went up to Xavier as part of our season previews. excuse me, and Coach Dave Hinkins was. I mean, he was upset. They got put in a new conference, and they became the smallest one in the Bay Conference, and he was not happy, and all they did was ramble off and go 9-0.
Is that like when Dave Keel of Homestead before the year tells us it's going to be a really rough year right until they win yet another conference championship?
There's just a Homestead way of doing things.
Yeah.
But
15 consecutive conference titles. We're going to get to the point where none of the players on the team were born the last time Homestead didn't win a conference
title.
That's insane, folks. That's insane. It's not like making the playoffs. Making the playoffs 15 years in a row is at least, you know, normal for very good programs. But to win a conference title for 15 years in a row, and there are at least three other programs that have been very good in the North Shore for the last several years.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yep. And then, so we had Xavier in with that New Berlin Eisenhower pod. And then on the other side, Whitnall and St. Francis. St. Francis, who I did a story on, their running back Amander Kraft the other day. In with Catholic Memorial, who did not miss the playoffs. In fact, they got a two seed once they got in.
Well, you knew they'd get a good seed if they got in. And they are, in my opinion, I still look at them as a team that's going to get to Madison. Monona Grove and Keewaskum are very good teams. La Crosse Logan is good, I guess. I obviously don't know a whole lot about them, but I think Catholic Memorial is your representative out of that half of the bracket. I think they wind up facing Xavier or I don't know a lot about Rice Lake, but I think Xavier would be the favorite to come out of that side too, and that would be my pick. I think Xavier and Catholic Memorial are going to play for the D3 state
title. Look at you, just getting all bold and predicting things, huh?
Yes, now you should tell me where you think your upsets are coming from.
My upsets? I don't know. I've been working. I don't just sit around and look at brackets all day.
You know, I think the upsets are hard to pick, first of all, because you get teams in conferences that you have a really hard time comparing. Like, for example, Pewaukee is going to travel to face Evansville-Albany. Evansville-Albany is undefeated in their conference. They're south of Madison. But I know nothing about their league. Does it match up with the Woodland? I mean, Pewaukee, this is not one of their best teams. I would not pick them to pull the upset. But that's the sort of laboratory where that stuff comes from. You get an undefeated team that just doesn't have the competition against a Milwaukee-area team that scratched and clawed their way in. That's where you sometimes see a first-round upset.
I would say somebody like Waterford in Division II.
Definitely.
I think I like somebody like them advancing quite a bit.
I love that. I love that as a possible representative out of there.
And then I could also see the winner of Brookfield East Whitefish Bay, which is on our air Friday night, by the way. That game will be broadcast live at 7 o'clock. I could see the winner of Brookfield East Whitefish Bay then beating Brookfield Central or Oshkosh North and actually then beating Slinger, Cedarburg, Germantown, or Homestead and being the one to represent from that little quadrant before facing DePere or Menasha and probably losing, because I think those two teams are really good.
Big believer in what Brookfield East has. I think,
are you?
I think as good as that group is, I think Brookfield East might be the best. And I don't know. I could be super wrong, but that running back, Sam Santiago Lloyd, is so good.
Again, that's one of those games that I was saying where it's so crazy that after all this, we go through the entire season with Whitefish Bay being the favorite, but the front runner in the North Shore, really good team. They could be done on Friday.
And then agree with you.
Exact same with Brookfield East. One of those will be, where Brookfield East has been one of the best teams in the greater metro. They could be done on Friday.
Yeah, it's very jarring because it's just like, that can't be how it goes. Yeah. They were so good. They can't only play one playoff game, but somebody is not getting to level two. And I like the winner of that game to possibly upset Brookfield Central. I say that without... I don't know if I really believe that, because I do think Brookfield Central is on paper clearly the best team in that group of eight, but I'd be very high on Brookfield East.
Then when it comes to Division One, I really think it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, I think Kimberly and Franklin and Arrowhead are so, and Oconomowoc are so good that I think it's hard for anybody. I mean, Kimberly will be in the state semifinals. I don't see there's any way. I mean, they handled Appleton North 35-21 when they played them, or maybe 35-28, but it was all Kimberly. I think Marquette maybe has a good chance of coming out of that bracket with the rest of the city schools, because I haven't seen Fond du Lac. I mean, I don't see too many upsets happening in Division One.
Yeah, if I'm Kimberly, I'm booking my tickets for Madison. They're matched up with that pool that is considered to be quite a bit weaker. I don't imagine that any of those schools can hold their own even with Kimberly. And maybe we're wrong. You never really know when you get to level four who's injured and which teams are playing well and on a roll. I mean, sometimes that comes into play. But if Kimberly could eviscerate a very good Marquette team last year in level four, I certainly expect a repeat performance if that happens again this year.
I mean, it's not last year's team. They did lose all 11 starters on defense. So, yeah. Yes, I said that right. They lost all 11 starters on defense. So they are different, but, I mean, they're still right now they're the goal of every program. You want to be a program where you want to be able to plug and play guys and just go for it.
Yeah.
And they did.
Now, you got to see some of the smaller schools play on
Friday.
Friday,
I saw Kenosha St. Joe's take on Catholic Central, although I didn't really see that because Catholic Central just dominated.
Yeah, that did surprise me.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
It was 14-12, and then Catholic Central scored 34 of the next 40 points.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
They're really good. I mean, they are a Division VII school. But the way that they operate and the way that the tradition is around there, I mean, those guys expect to win every game and they expect to make a deep run in the playoffs. So they just might. So Kenosha St. Actually, both teams got a 2 seed. St. Joe's is in Division 5, and they'll play Racine St. Cat's, who is a Metro Classic Conference rival of theirs that they beat. I think it was like 27-7 earlier in the year. So they should be advancing, and Catholic Central is also a 2 seed in the Division 7. Playoffs, where I don't know literally any other team in that
bracket.
Sure,
you do.
So.
Well, you're right. Not in D7. D6 no. Has Lake Country Lutheran. But,
yep.
One matchup in D5 that interests me is the Brookfield Academy Shoreland Lutheran. A Metro Classic and a Midwest Classic. Two teams that were pretty good, but not front runners in their respective conferences. Brookfield Academy has Ian Francis, whose older brother Spencer Francis lit up the stat sheet last year with passing and rushing totals. So now this year it's Ian Francis who's running the show, and he's once again recording a ton of numbers. But Academy were not able to take down St. Francis nor Lake Country Lutheran in the Midwest Classic, so they are a 4 seed and Shoreland a 5. That'll be, I think, a pretty good game.
So your upsets, team to watch, etc.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Brookfield East is probably my pick. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, do you consider Catholic Memorial an upset as a 2 seed? Because I think they're going to win the state championship. I really do. I think they're just that good. And I've said that all along. I think they're going to win. I mean, if you're Homestead, don't you have to be a little nervous with Germantown? Because Germantown beat them earlier this year. I get that Homestead is playing much better now and has really found its form. But, I mean, that's a 2-7 matchup in a rematch where the 7-team won. That's pretty amazing.
No, I mean, the more that I think about it, the more that is insane. Because assuming Homestead wins, then they get Slinger or Cedarburg. I mean, two amazing teams. And then if they win that, then they could get Brookfield Central, Brookfield East, or Whitefish Bay. I mean, those are three really, really,
and,
really
and then
teams.
You get to face DePere, maybe, if you get that far. DePere or Menasho. Both of those teams can win the state title pretty easily.
Meanwhile, if you're Waukesha West, you feel real good about your chances to get to semifinals.
You imagine that at some point you're going to probably face Wanakee in a level 4 rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously a long way away, but you think Wanakee has got to be the one to come out of that pool unless Badger rises up. You know, Badger has staged some surprises before. They've been to level 4 before, so that would not be a surprise. But, you know, unless Greenfield really, really surprises us and manages to beat a team like Waukesha West, you got to think the Wolverines are a level 4 team at the least.
I don't know if Greenfield has it in them.
I'm worried that this is that I've been saying this all year, that I think the Classic 8 is going to get three teams to the state championship games. Waukesha West, Catholic Memorial, and Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And for the first time, I'm doubting that pretty heavily. What's amazing is that it's Arrowhead that is the team that I'm doubting, because for the longest time I thought that was the greatest slam dunk of the three.
Because apparently Wanakee is very young this year.
They are good.
So I feel great about Catholic Memorial, good about Waukesha West, and very cautious about Arrowhead.
Now, is cautious a word that would describe how you feel about the Green Bay Packers being 6-0 right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a limit to how many times you can win ugly, is there not?
I think Drew Olsen said that first, but I don't feel that way at all. Now, I don't know if I think this team is a world beater, but, like, you know, there's value in, first of all, every single road win in the NFL, it does not matter to me how ugly it is. There needs to be no beauty points on the road. If you win, it's a good thing. At home, when you give up 503 yards to a quarterback, yeah, that's a problem. But, I mean, I look at it as they gave up 20 points. Like, that wins NFL games normally. Yeah. And one of those touchdowns came on a 4th-and-1 play from the goal line at the end of the second quarter. I mean, that could have very easily been, you know, a stop. I mean, I just don't feel bad about it.
And look at who's out. I mean, Raji was out. Burnett is still out.
Right.
Adams, Montgomery, Nelson, obviously. I mean, there are a few disclaimers in there.
Playing so well.
There are a few disclaimers in there that this is not, ideally, this is not the roster that they would be taking into San Francisco for
this
Super Bowl.
That's true. And Raji, I think you saw from a defensive standpoint how valuable he is. I mean, mm-hmm. He's like many defensive linemen, he doesn't get the stats, but when you have a dominant front, it makes everybody else on defense stronger. And maybe over the middle isn't open as much as it was, but if something's going to be open, over the middle should be it. And Phillip Rivers exploited that all day long. I get it. Just racked up yards and yards and yards and yards. But then again, there were plays that were made at the end of the game. You know, it's all about playmaking on defense. There's the sack to prevent them from scoring late in the game. Can't remember who snuck up behind him to get that one offhand. And then, obviously, the Demarius Randall deflection on 4th down with the game on the line. The rookie made a great, great play, saved the game, and now they're 6-0 heading into a bye where all those guys can heal up a little bit. Yeah. It's a nice situation.
I still think they're the best team in the NFC, and
word.
I still think they'll make it, but they have a lot to work on, and they have a lot to get healthy for.
Yeah, and it's funny because the biggest fear was that the Seahawks were going to stand in the way of the NFC championship game. Well, now, I mean,
I believe they're third to last in the playoff standings
right now.
The playoffs do not start this week, but
and you can't rule it out. But I mean, even if they get to the playoffs, they're going to get in by the skin of their teeth,
yeah.
And they're going to wind up having to fight to even get into the to the second round. So
life is good on top, though. Just take that playoff bye if you can get it, and take those home games.
Yeah, I do think that once you get into the playoffs, there is a little concern here like there would have been in 2011 where you face a more efficient offense like what San Diego had, and then they're going to get carved up a little bit. Although, I don't know which teams in the NFC I'd be afraid of. You know, Arizona? Carolina? Like, who stands in their way right now?
I mean, Carolina, the big belief is that Carolina is a product of their schedule and that they're not actually as good as their wins say that they are.
Yeah, and at this point, you could say that about any good NFL team because there are so few good teams. If they haven't
played themselves,
they have no chance of having a good
schedule. Very true.
Yeah, I'm buying on the Packers still. I think they're the best team in the NFC, like you said. At some point, you start talking about undefeated. Is there an opportunity here? And I mean, how great would it be if both New England and Green Bay ended up undefeated in the
Super
Bowl?
Phenomenal.
That would be a millennial opportunity right there.
I think you start talking about undefeated once the Packers get through their next two games because they travel to Denver and they travel to Carolina, and I travel with them.
Yeah.
But they travel to Denver,
two teams
that
are undefeated.
Yeah. So if they get past those two, then absolutely you can start talking about
it. Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of I've heard, well, you can only talk about it after they've gone like 13-0 or 15-0. I say forget that. I'm going to talk about it right now. And maybe we'll
wait.
It's
the joy of being a sports fan.
It is.
It's why at 7-0, I get to believe impossible things for my Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
Because you don't, well, as an Iowa fan, you don't get these feelings often. And you don't know when they're going to end. That's why we follow sports.
And the Outback Bowl is a great place to spend your New Year's vacation when you're
hanging out in Phoenix in the Buffalo Wild Wings Insight.com Bowl, you know, I'll wave.
There's gift bags, I believe. Gift bags. Do you get a gift bag when you go to these things?
Of course. Do I? Do you? To bowl games?
Yeah. Like media gift bags? You probably don't get what
players get. You don't get a gift bag. No. I think the only two games I've covered were Rose Bowls. And I don't remember anything special.
That's too bad. I feel bad for you.
No. I think like media days have been the best stuff. Like the Bucks a few years ago, like 2009-10 around there.
Yeah.
Bucks gave out like one of those folding suitcases, like garment bags.
Okay.
That was really nice.
Okay.
I think somebody, Big Ten gave out a like a messenger bag, like a briefcase.
Okay.
So there's been some good stuff.
Okay.
Are state football, high school state football gives out popcorn and hot dogs.
Oh, gosh. It's the
and
worst.
And hot chocolate.
It's the worst. I'm never one to complain about sort of press box or media amenities. I mean, that's just not the gig we have. You don't get to complain at the high school level.
But state football is a 16-hour day in Camp Randall, and you're on your own.
And it's freezing in the press box, which is fine. I mean, it's not uncomfortable. There's a way to stay warm. But I honestly wish they wouldn't even offer food.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Those hot dogs are like leftovers from something else. And
you see it there. And you
eat it, which is totally our fault. But it's gross. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, this is our life, people. Yeah, this is.
And they've officially turned off the podcast because we're talking about media amenities. The media last thing people want to hear about when they're listening.
So what can they read about for the nobody who's still listening?
The Push for the Playoffs website remains updated on a weekly basis. We've got all the first round matchups laid out for you right now. We've also got, I think, a pretty good Coach's Confidential this week, where we anonymously ask coaches what they think about the issues. This week's issue is instant replay. Yeah, instant replay. And quite honestly, it's a pretty divided group whether or not they think that if it could be used. Obviously, the money issue makes it probably never to happen, or at least not to happen soon.
Does that mean like Time Warner Sports would broadcast every game?
Yeah, remember there was a game earlier this year, Pewaukee, Wisconsin Lutheran, where they had video replay of something going opposite how it actually turned out. So yeah, they're a little divided on that, but then also we've just got our usual updates at mycommunitynow.com/push.
On Sports Weekly, there is coverage from Big Ten Basketball Media Day, where I was on Thursday, which we probably could have talked about that, but I don't want to. So that will be on the show tonight or tomorrow night, as will some high school football, the Catholic Central St. Joe's game. And the Badgers beat up on another almost winless team. It seems to be what they do.
Gut reaction on Bo Ryan. Is he going to be back after this?
Yes.
Year? Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
The analogy that he used was, how many times are you at a backyard barbecue and you say, all right, one more hamburger, and how many times you end up eating three more?
Do you wish he would just say, I'm coming back to, like, kill the drama?
No, he doesn't need to.
Is it not important?
I don't think he needs to.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's that much drama. It's... Now, the only issue I think there is just recruits.
Recruits, right.
I mean,
that's why.
But for you and I and for average fans, who cares?
Now, the Badgers have made a habit of finishing top four, even when they don't have a perceptibly good
team. It's not a habit.
Team.
It's a rule.
It's a rule. Their team this year is not great, but pretty good. One of the top players in the country and another player who's very solid. What do you think? You think that the top four streak could end this year because the Big Ten is pretty good?
Yep, I think it will.
You think it will?
I think it will.
Wow.
I don't want to bet against Bo Ryan, but when I look at Maryland and Michigan State and everybody else who's going to be in that Purdue, Michigan,
State,
and
sure.
Iowa, and Ohio, Ohio State won't be. They'll be rebuilding.
Okay.
But there are about seven teams that are top three teams.
Okay.
So it's just a tough year in the Big Ten. I don't know if there are national champions or anything like that, but I think that there are a ton of Sweet 16 teams in the Big Ten.
Really?
Yep.
Well, it certainly will remain to be seen. Like I said, even when the Badgers don't have anything, it seems like they finish top four. So we can't put it past Bo Ryan. Somebody, as we know with Wisconsin basketball, somebody we aren't planning on at this very moment is going to be a star starter for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Charlie Thomas. All right, that's initial reaction. Thanks for listening.
He's a freshman. That wouldn't even be a surprise, would it? Or, I mean, it'd be a surprise that he plays a lot, but
yeah.
I think Ethan Happ is your guy. Ethan Happ.
All right. All right, bye, friends.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.